connections through music. That's really what it's about. When you play a piece of music for someone or you start to talk about music, it really does change the temperature in the room. And that's always kind of been the way with me. You know, if I really want to speak loud enough and I really want someone to hear me, you know, you play music. Welcome to the Dr. Zeus podcast. You know, it's been a very interesting couple of days, and you know, I'm not going to dive into I don't want to dive into personal things on here. I mean, if you want to know me, it's through music. If I'm in pain, it's through music. If I'm in love, it's through music. If I'm feeling uncertain, it's through music. I mean, it's and as of recent, you know, I'm starting to get back into music, but I just did not want to listen to any music for a couple of weeks. It was kind of like, no, and that's weird for me. That means something's wrong. It means maybe I'm sick, you know, a whole multitude of things that I could go into. And you know, I found myself today, it was a family thing, and we all started talking about bands, and oh, I saw Pink Floyd, oh, whoa, and I saw the Stones, oh god, I always wanted to see the Stones, and then they were like, you went to Aftershock? I said, yeah, I did, oh my god, my cousin, I don't even want to see the footage, I wanted to go, I was like, oh man, you know, and things like that, and how, oh yeah, I'm gonna go see Meshuggah on the 27th, you're gonna go see Meshuggah, yeah, you know, things like that. And what music does to all of us, you know, we all have memories attached to music, and whether they could be good or bad, you know, I could say 2001, you know, I lost a family member, and a lot of that is connected to that U2 album, All That You Can't Leave Behind. To this day, I have trouble listening to some of it, because it's like, oh, okay, I associate it with that. Or Beck's, Beck did a really great album in 98. What's it called? Mule Variations. And I associate this with kind of a dark period in college. And to this day, I can't listen to certain songs on there because it's like, oh, okay. You know, and that usually isn't the case for me. And like sad songs don't really bother me. But then, you know, if it strikes you at a certain moment, it's like, okay, you know, there's something behind that, you know. I mean, you look at recently Streisand revealing in her book that I guess a conversation with her husband inspired Diane Warren, who she knows, of course, to write I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, and Aerosmith made it a hit, you know. Yeah. and I've talked about songs on here before that I absolutely love, and, you know, but yeah, if I ever wanted to say something, it's through music, you know. And I'm a singer, and I'm not much of a musician. I know a lot of musicians. That's the beauty of when you know a true musician. That really is a magical thing, and you get to hear them talk about things, and you understand it. It's like, oh, okay, you know, music theory, and it's like, oh yes, I totally understand that, even though I can't read music, you know. And my brain is more so like, I'm thinking about, you know, other things within the context. So yeah, you know, there's that. And what music does to all of us as people, it's a magical thing, you know, and to be able to share that. And I've said this before, you know, what you play for someone says a lot about you, okay? And not too long ago, someone played some music for me, and it really, you know, it was like song after song, and then you kind of ask questions, okay, oh, that's so-and-so, oh, okay, you know, and you dive into a form of communication that you could only have with that person, you know what I mean? And so to be able to talk about music in those terms, I mean, I'm collaborating right now with a musician, and you know, I'm a writer, but it's kind of like, okay, how do I put this kind of in vocal tune or tone, you know, because I have it in my head, I, you know how I want it to sound, and like, I started talking in terms of like shoegazing is like kind of a vocal quality that we could maybe associate with the Deftones, you know, or as people have said to me over time, oh yes, they love to use Pro Tools. Yes, they do. They really do love to use Pro Tools now, don't they? And, you know, Pro Tools can be fun. Just don't depend on them, you know, because if you really want to show what you're made of musically, it cannot be through Pro Tools. It just cannot, you know. I mean, if you're gonna do a backing track, I don't want to call out the band because I said that recently and someone was like, wait, they play to a backing track? And I'm like, yeah, how does that make you feel? And I said, well, you know, my friends like them. And I was like, okay, that's great and all, but and that's the true power and that's the true force of music, is that we get to experience those things. And you know, people play songs in moments of joy and moments of sorrow, and you know, that's kind of always been the way. It's like, okay, it's illuminating a moment, you know. I can't say that more specifically. You are illuminating a moment between you and another person, or, you know, and I mean, I've said this before, you know, there are certain songs when a long time ago, a gentleman, shall we say, played Black Magic Woman, and it was in the background, and Santana, and I grew up listening to Santana. I mean, we could even joke, maybe he's a distant cousin from the same village as my family in Jalisco. And it was Black Magic Woman, and we were adulting, and to this day, I associate Black Magic Woman now with that, because, you know, it's building, you know, the drums and the guitar, and then the vocals come to the forefront, and, you know, some people hear it and you just hear the song. Oh, not me, because I have a memory attached to that, of something that I was enjoying. And then you come home and you're all kind of like in La La Land, like, oh god, that was so good, you know. And so I associate Black Magic Woman with that. And yeah, you know, that's sometimes if there's no music playing, you know, maybe your brain might pick up a lyric to something and you associate it with that. So, you know, there are songs for so many different occasions. And I mean, I've talked about them ad nauseum. I love, you know, I listen to metal all the time, but then I will listen to soft songs. I will even listen to country, okay? I think some people who know me don't realize that I do love country. I just don't like the crap that's being made now. Like, I like the, I hate to say the word authentic, but I like, you know, I love Willie Nelson. Some people don't like him. I've always loved him, not just because of the pot element. Let's, you know, come on, let's kind of kick that to the side right there. You know, and singer-songwriters, that's the beauty of a singer-songwriter, is you're gonna come out there and you're gonna give this song to someone else, and they're gonna sing it with a different pair of emotions, you know. Bob Dylan wrote that really great song, To Bring You My Love, and then Garth Brooks sang it, and then Adele sang it, but I know that it's on, I think it's Time Out of Mind, yeah, Bob Dylan's 97 Time Out of Mind album. So, and they both made it a hit, you know, and Bob, it's Bob's song, though. Or, you know, another one of Bob's, I mean, oh god, I love Bob Dylan, All Along the Watchtower. Think about what Jimi Hendrix did with that, okay? Yes, it's the guitar, yes. And Jimmy himself was like, I'm not much of a vocalist, man, you know, but he was, you know. Nobody else can sing Hey Joe, okay? Nobody else can sing Hey Joe. But Jimmy can, and Jimmy could. The same with, you know, when Bob writes something, you know, there's certain songs, I mean, you know, he has that one song, my cousin loves that song, Everybody Must Get Stoned, the stone you in, you can, and I've seen Bob, you know, and that really, that's a different kind of experience where I would have to do, like, a separate show to talk about that. I remember when I was hitting a milestone birthday, and I was a year away from it, This is a while back. And I put on Like a Rolling Stone, Bob Dylan, and it made me feel that moment. I was like, okay, this is this moment that I have to feel of uncertainty. Okay, where am I going to go from here? And I just blasted it, and I played it all. I was going to Berkeley, and I played it all the way home, and it colored that moment for me. And so I associated with that. Okay, we're going into this very scary territory. Or I'll talk about this because it's been a while. In 2010, I had an incident and required a lot of stitches and, you know, almost had to do some other things. And they put me on pain medication. And so, and I don't react well to pain medication. Sometimes I feel I just feel the pain. Like right now I have like, obviously I do need a root canal. And I'm in a little bit of pain, but I have to feel it. You know, I'm not going to take anything for it. Maybe a little whiskey might help. But I remember I was on the pain meds. And then I was in a very weird place. And I did not, there was a lot of family events going on, and I did not want to be part of them. I probably because I was still embarrassed by what I had done to myself, shall we say. And so I'd go for these very long drives, and I had this buddy who wanted me to come and visit. And I said, sure, I'll come and visit. I never made it because I turned around because it just drove in like a haze. And I was listening to some depressing ass shit. I was listening to Coldplay. Like, I was listening to Violet Hill. And still to this day, I associate it with that, you know, just uncertainty. And, you know, you're going for a drive. And then the phone dies. It's like, oh, God, I got charged the freaking phone. So all I had in the CD thing was Deftones, the self-titled album. So I drove from Bakersfield all the way home, listening to just Deftones. And so, you know, it's one of those things, you know, you go through these ebbs and flows, and the music, you know, the music is always there. The music is there even when people aren't there. And that's a interesting telling thing, you know, because I've said before, you know, when I need a hug, people aren't always there. And music can't hug you. It can do it emotionally and evocatively, but you know, and this is, you know, I don't want to make this about myself, but fuck, this has been a difficult year. It's been a very difficult year. I am learning from it. But music is there. It's been difficult at times to listen to music because, you know, it's like, where did the joy go? You know? And my great aunt, who we laid to rest today, she loved Elvis. Oh, God, she loved Elvis. I'm not a big Elvis fan. Now, if I was in a better place, I would definitely have sang it for her. Just in tribute, you know? I mean, Viva Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas. That's not even, you know, that's, I'm not even trying right there. That's, you know, but you feel it. You feel something, and you dive in, and yeah, you know, that's how you do it. And so I'll do a little something to close out the show tonight. Because you know, maybe I'll start listening to some Elvis. I mean, you know, I mean, I know he influenced the Beatles, and, you know, and hey, he was a good-looking man. Come on, you know, Jailhouse Rock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, rock. You know, the whole rock vocal right there. But then, you know, you also gotta, come on, you gotta throw Little Richard in there because, you know, they all influenced one another. Oh God, you know, from reading about Bruno Mars, there's a video of him. He was baby Elvis in Hawaii. He used to dress up as Elvis and sing the Elvis songs and okay, I don't have any music to back me, so I'll just end it this way. Love me tender, love me sweet, never let me go. You have made my life complete, and I love you so. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams are fulfilled. For my darling, I love you, and I always will. No wonder he wanted to sing Dolly Parton's I Will Always Love You. And that's an interesting story, because I guess he owned most of the songs he sang, and he wanted that song, and Dolly didn't know that. And so he's like, you know, I really want to cover I Will Always Love You. And she's like, oh, I just love that, Elvis. But then he's like, but you know, every song that I sing, I have to own. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry, but I'm not, it's not for sale. So she's smart, you know. And then what happens, you know, Whitney does it. And oh God, I love how Whitney did it. You know, if you want to talk about someone who, you know, here's the thing, I'm not religious, and I've said that many, many times, but there's something beyond all of this. And when I would hear her sing, even as a little kid, you don't know what you're feeling. You're feeling something. And is it this thing that is beyond all of us? And to hear her sing in that way, whether you're religious or not, you felt it. I have never heard another singer, that's not true, I heard a singer recently, that I know kind of touched me, but I've never heard a singer of that caliber where even now that she's gone, it hits you even more. And I can hear her voice in my head, you know, certain songs like All the Men That I Need, and because when she you know, she would climb, and she didn't, but she would soar as she did it. That's some singers, they got to work it in, you know, the whole calisthenics of all of it, you know. But with Whitney, she just had it. She had it. And, you know, so that's what music really does to all of us. Music is this really special, ethereal thing, you know. That's why the songs of Tool are forever a part of me, and the songs of A Perfect Circle are forever a part of me. You know, I remember reading recently that Maynard James Keenan said his favorite song that he's written as a songwriter, and I'm going to play it for you, because he's right. Because as a songwriter really paints images when they are writing. And what he did with this song, first time I heard it, 2015, and I remember watching the video that he had put out, like a YouTube video of it, and it was mesmerizing. It was ethereal. It was powerful. And he considers this one of the greatest songs he's ever written. Here we go. Grand Holy Mother, grant me clarity. I am standing on the edge of forever. And I love that lyric where he says, I'm standing on the edge of forever. And he's obviously talking about life, but he's also talking about the Grand Canyon, because the song's called Grand Canyon, and the whole mysticism of the Grand Canyon and the beauty and the majesty of that that monument, you know, that we all, I think people take for granted things such as that. You know, I've always wanted to stand and look upon the canyon during a full moon just to take it all in. And maybe camp out there and watch the sun come up, and you know. But that's what music does. That's what music does. It amplifies how we're feeling at that moment and who we are as people. And like I said, you know, for a couple of weeks I've had trouble listening to music, for a lot of personal reasons and a lot of things going on, where obviously karma is catching up to me, and it's like, all right. you gotta do this, man. You gotta realign, you know. And so even at this point, you know, I'm still learning. So, but yeah, music is the great unifier. It makes us realize that we're not alone, and sometimes that's a good thing. You know, over the summer, I would go for these drives at night because I just wanted to get out of myself and I wanted to get out of my head. And I would just put on music and drive throughout the night. And it didn't, you know, I mean, I'd come home, you know, and I'm tired. And I think some people, when I say that, I'm careful who I say that to. I'm saying this on a podcast and people are listening, and I think people think that I drive, listen to music, and cry. I really haven't cried in a long time. I can tell you the last time I actually did, and it was in October, and it wasn't really, it was more so misty-eyed, and I wasn't feeling vulnerable. It was just kind of like, oh, okay, you know, you have to feel this moment, you know what I mean, and it was a beautiful moment, and, so yeah, you know, I was going to talk about Stone Temple Pilots, because, you know, when I used to just feel it, especially as a teenager, I'd walk around where there's some good acoustics in the house and sing Stone Temple Pilots songs and, you know, just pretend I was Scott Weiland and, oh God, he was so good, you know, or even when he was in Velvet Revolver was the shit. Okay, you want to talk about a super group? People always talk about super groups. When you've got Slash and Duff from Guns N' Roses in a band with Scott Weiland. I mean, they made two albums together, you know? Oh, jeez. Yeah. So that's really what I wanted to talk about tonight, was what music does for all of us. And how it makes us all feel as people. And if I sang Elvis poorly, my apologies. You know, I don't have my microphone. And I'm, you know, sometimes it's like, sometimes I got it in the pocket and sometimes I don't, you know. I learned that. It's all by chance. You know, I was teaching not too long ago and they asked me to sing some Harry Styles and I did. And the other singer in the class who was a student was like, oh my God, you can sing. And I'm like, yeah. And so anytime they put on Harry Styles, I would sing along to it. And then they'd cut the music and they'd hear me and be like, whoa, you know, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn. Trust me. I'm far from perfect. You know, I feel it and I give it the go. And, you got to just be bold and you got to do it. There's so many moments of that, especially this year, where I had to just, okay, I got to do this. I got to be bold. And then there are a few that I won't talk about where I was like, you know, you recognize it and it's like, oh, got to make that move now. Got to just do it. And then you do it and then you feel better for doing it. And then it's like, okay, sky's the limit. So yeah, double entendres. You know, but that's the beauty of music. And you know, for those who are having tough times, that's what music does for us. Music is, you know, just one of those things. It makes me think of, I was subbing PE not too long ago and the girls were getting into Weezer. And I just started singing Buddy Holly, and I didn't have my glasses on. I said, usually I got glasses on, so, you know, I'll give you some Buddy Holly. And they were just rocking out to it. And the other students were like, what is he singing? Oh, it's a rock song. It's called Buddy Holly by Weezer. So they're like, because they're listening to it. I'm like, you know, that's my music. What do you mean that's your music? Well, I didn't write it, but that was when I was a teenager, you know, that was the stuff. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I mean, you know, my cousin, we were talking about, you know, how certain things make you feel older. And I said, no, I said, with me, it's different because,
maybe there's a little bit of nostalgia. And my other cousin, he and I are similar. Same age. We're separated by months. Because I'm December, he's January. Like, I'm December 1980, he's January 1981. Such a nice guy. And we were reminiscing about when he went and saw Marilyn Manson in high school. I was just getting into Manson then, and he had Marilyn Manson on his car. He has this hot rod, and I always thought that was cool about it. We would bond about that, you know. We talk about music, like, oh, did you see this one? Like, he's seen A Perfect Circle. I've said, I've never seen A Perfect Circle. I've seen Pussifer, and I've seen Tool multiple times, you know. But It's just one of those things, you know what I mean? That's what music does. Music unifies all of us. So, as always, unpleasant dreams.